Well, here is a reality that we all know too well. We don't like it, but we know it's true. In this world, we will have trouble. That's actually a direct quote from Jesus. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble, but what? Take heart. Why? Because Jesus has overcome the world. So trouble, suffering, the hard moments of life, we all understand they're real and they're universal. Every single one of us is going to walk through challenging seasons. And just to illustrate that for you, I want to give you a snapshot of our church family. And these are just some things that I know about from the past several weeks. We've had a handful that have been diagnosed with cancer and have begun to undergo treatments. We've had a handful in our church family that have passed away after suffering through illnesses for a long season. We've had several in our church family that have lost loved ones in the past couple of weeks due to illness or due to accident. We've had some that have lost their jobs and are facing a complete financial crisis in their family. We've got people here in our church that have sick children that they're having to navigate issues with, some of them with severely sick children, and they're walking down this road with their kids right now. Come out of the medical realm and the financial realm, and I talked with a family last week that they feel completely isolated and alone. Some sin in the midst of their friend group has sort of popped up and it's fractured the group and it's left many of them isolated and feeling they don't have anywhere to turn. All of these issues are real. All of them are hard, right? This is suffering. These are challenging times, and this is just from our church family the past couple of weeks, people that I know about. So if you've ever heard the phrase, life can be hard, it's because of this stuff. And if we were to focus on this too much, if we were to allow the suffering of this world to take up too much space in our minds and in our hearts, we'd get to a place where we'd begin to spiral and we'd actually start to lose heart. And nobody wants that. Right? There's not one person that came in this morning thinking, man, I hope today I hear something at church that makes me lose heart. I'd argue the opposite is true. Because when we gather as a family of believers, our hope is that we would encourage one another, that we would build one another up, and that we would leave gatherings like this full of hope. And that's my prayer for all of us this morning, that no matter what season you're in, whether it's a season of joy or a season of sorrow and suffering, my prayer is that you would leave filled with hope, with a renewed heart, because of the grace of God that is found in the promises of God. This morning, we're going to continue our series that we've been in for several weeks now. It's called Fight for What Matters, and our title and main idea today is this: fight through suffering. And I'll acknowledge this is a different kind of fight than we've seen so far in our series, but it matters. Why? Because, like I just said, we're all going to face suffering, and when we do, we've got a choice. One of two things is going to happen. We can let that suffering hurt our hearts and drive a wedge between us and our relationship with God, or as we're going to see in our Bible this morning, we can let God build up and strengthen our hearts even in the middle of that season of suffering. And we see exactly how that happens in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and open there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to unpack verses 7 through 18, but we're going to start with verse 16, right? Verse 16 is the main idea of the passage, and it's really held up by everything else we're going to read. Verse 16 says this: therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are renewed day by day. So, as we talk about fighting suffering, that's the answer key, right? Verse 16 is the answer. How do we do it? Two things. One, don't lose heart. And number two, be renewed from the inside out every single day. Now, we're going to unpack this verse and then the text around it to see how it supports it. But as we look, it's important for me and you to understand that this is a letter written by Paul to a church family just like us in the city of Corinth, right? Now, it is a church family who, like Paul and like us, walked through hard times and seasons of suffering. And so in this section of the letter, Paul says, listen, I understand that you're walking through challenging seasons, that you've got pain. Let me show you what to do with that pain. Middle of the verse. Again, Outwardly, we're wasting away, but on the inside, we're renewed day by day. Paul says, I understand. We're wasting away. The phrase loses a little bit when you go from Greek to English. He's not trying to minimize pain or minimize suffering. He's fully acknowledging it. And with this phrasing, he's saying, this is like a house that is breaking down on the outside. So think of old home. Think of the paint cracking. Think of the siding beginning to fall off. Think of problems with the windows. Think of gutters hanging down, right? An old house that is wasting away. And you open the front door and you walk in and it's completely different. You walk in and the kitchen's brand new and the countertops are brand new and the appliances are brand new. The floors, like there's been a contractor working on the inside. The renewal that Paul speaks of is an internal, inside-out kind of thing that happens in our lives. But how? Right? How do we get that contractor in there? Do we do this ourselves? And the answer is no. Right? This is a key here. What does the Bible say? Look at verse 16. We are being renewed. This verb is in the passive tense, meaning that this internal heart construction, heart renewal, it is happening to us. It is not something that we are making happen to ourselves, right? This is a work of God in our lives, and it's a passive continuous verb. It is a work of God in our life, and it's happening day in and day out. The work of God in your heart, it is not limited to a Sunday morning experience. We learn here that God is constantly working in us, even in seasons of suffering, to bring us to this place of spiritual renewal and strength deep down in our hearts and souls. So, how do we fight the suffering that we are guaranteed to experience? Well, we don't ignore it. We don't act like it's not there. We don't put a brave face on. We follow the example that God gives us in His Word right here of Paul, who was no stranger to suffering. We refuse to lose heart, acknowledging that God's doing something inside us, even in the challenging seasons. That's it. Now, those of you that are not in a season of suffering, like if your life feels good and life feels smooth right now for you, you're thinking, okay, I got it. So when suffering comes, to fight back, don't lose heart, be renewed, sounds good. What's for lunch? I'm ready to go. But for those of you that are walking through a time like I described earlier, those of you that are in a season of sorrow or suffering right now, you're thinking, what? What are you talking about? Is that it? How do I not lose heart? I'm sick. I don't know what's going to happen to me. Maybe you're thinking, my loved one just died. I don't know where I'm going to go next. My life's a mess. My marriage is over. You're thinking that there's got to be more. And if you're thinking that, let me just say you're right. Paul didn't write verse 16 in isolation and just move on, right? He used the entire context of this text to hold up, to tell us why he's able to not lose heart, to tell us why he knows he's being renewed from the inside out. If we're going to follow this example here and keep our hearts strong and be renewed even in the seasons of suffering, we've got to look at how Paul did it. And Paul did it as he just did what Jesus said. Now, Jesus is clear in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to face these seasons. Some people are going to be renewed and stand strong in the middle of suffering, and other people are going to be crushed under the weight of their suffering. And as Jesus tells the story about how it goes for each set of people, He's very clear on the difference. I want you to see if you can pick it out. Matthew 7, starting in verse 24, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Everyone that hears these words of mine and then puts them into practice is like a wise man that builds his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat on the house." So that's the suffering and the turmoil of the world, right? So all of that happens to this person, and the house doesn't fall, because the foundation was on the rock. Verse 26, "Everyone that hears these words and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man that built his house on the sand." Right? The troubles of this world came, and the house fell, and it fell with a great crash. Now, it doesn't say one person's going to face suffering and one's not, right? Both sets of people, everyone's going to face it. And I believe that Paul was able to face suffering and not lose heart, but instead come away renewed even through his suffering, was because he built his life on the teachings of Jesus, on the Word of God. That's key for you and me as we face these kinds of scenarios. Paul knew that, and so he doesn't just say, hey, don't lose heart and move on. No, he told us in verses 7 through 18 why he doesn't lose heart. He gives us truth there to anchor our heart to this. Verse 16 is the pinnacle, right? Everything before and after it is holding it up. Look at verse 16. If you underline or highlight in your Bible, just notice the first word of that verse is therefore, right? And so it's saying, hey, everything I've said up until this point is the reason why I don't lose heart. And then verse 17 begins with the word for, meaning, hey, everything I'm about to say is also the reason why I don't lose heart and why I am being renewed day by day. And so we're going to look at his reasoning in verses 7 through 18, understanding that these are truths, these are anchors for our heart and our soul. And our action step today is just to let these truths sink deep down into our heart so that they will anchor us in seasons of joy and seasons of sorrow. Look at verse 7. He writes, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Truth number one, or anchor number one, is this. God is powerful in our weakness. In that verse, the treasure is the gospel, right? That's where the power in our lives comes from. And God has chosen to put this most powerful treasure into what? Into clay pots. That's you and me. Clay pots were common back then. They were used for everyday tasks. They would break. They could be discarded easily. People weren't too worried about them if they left them behind. The contextual equivalent today might be a red Solo cup, right? You're not too worried about it. You know, if it's gone, it's gone, and you just move on. If someone broke into a home back then, they're not looking in the Solo cup for the valuables. They're looking for the silver, for the bronze pots. That's where the treasure would be, not the clay ones. So Paul here is making a point when he speaks of a valuable treasure in a clay pot. He is making the point that God is strong even when we are weak. And in those weak moments, we don't lose heart. In fact, we're encouraged and we are built up. We allow our hearts to be anchored to this. I'm weak, God's strong, even in my weakness. Now, we don't like to admit when we're weak. Right? That's just part of our culture. We don't like to acknowledge when we need help. Clay pots crack, and so do we. Right? We know that. We understand that we're going to face moments in our lives, in our families, where when left to our own strength, we just can't make it through. I think internally we all get that. And I read something this week that sort of reinforced that thought in my mind that not just believers, but people across our culture understand that concept. Did you know that Amazon, I believe, owns Kindle, and you can highlight stuff in your Kindle, right? If you've ever read a digital copy of something that this is through Amazon, well, when you highlight stuff, they make a note of it. And they're able to track that and sort of see who highlights what. I'm sure it's so they can sell you something later, but they track all of that stuff, and they've got a list of the most highlighted sentences in all of their books worldwide on the Amazon Kindle. Now, I'm going to share it with you in just a minute because it really drives this home. But before I share it with you, does anybody have any ideas of what book it might be from? Any guesses? What did you say? The Bible. Okay, good. I was hoping somebody would say the Bible. We're at church, guys. Come on, right? Hey, we had one person in the first service too, and they were also sitting on the front row just over here. Here's the deal. Not the Bible. It's actually from the Hunger Games series, okay? And listen, I don't show it on the screen yet, guys. I'm going to read it. This is not a spectacular sentence by any stretch of the imagination. It appears very plain and very matter of fact. So just think. Why? Out of all of the books that exist in the world that people have read, why is this highlighted more than anything else? Meaning people noticed it. They took time to focus on it. They highlighted it so they could go back and see it again. Why? Here it is. Sometimes things happen to people and they're not equipped to deal with them. The most highlighted sentence in all of Amazon books. Because it connects with something deep inside of us. Right, we understand that life is hard. We know we're going to face moments that we are not equipped to deal with on our own. We're going to face moments that we will not have the strength to overcome. We know that. But still, most of us do whatever we can to not let people see the cracks in our lives. We don't want them to see the weakness. We don't want them to see the struggle. We want to put forward the polished version of our lives, not the weak versions. Let me just encourage you, that brave face that you try to put on where you say, everything's fine, I don't need help, listen, you don't need to worry about that, right? Understand, clay pot, right? You're weak and God is strong. Let God's strength shine through your cracks to the world around you. People talk about being real or being authentic, that's it. Being able to say, hey, listen, I'm weak, God's strong. And it's because of the power of the gospel that God has placed inside of me that I will not lose heart, that I will continue to be built up and renewed day by day. God is strong. Joni Erickson Tada. She was 17 years old. In the summer of 1967, she was hanging out like a lot of us do in the summer. She was on the water. She dove off of a raft into the Chesapeake Bay, shallower than she thought. She hit her head on the bottom, and immediately her neck was broken. She was a quadriplegic in a wheelchair from that day forward. Clay pot, we are weak. Our bodies are frail. Things are going to happen to them. She spent years depressed, wondering why God didn't just take her then, wondering why God's not healing her now. And she really wrestled with that. But slowly, she turned to the Word of God. She allowed her mind to be anchored to the truth of God's Word. And that's when her perspective began to shift. That's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, I will not lose heart. My mind is going back to anchors found in the Word of God. And so Joni, she stopped asking God to change her external circumstances, and she started asking God to change her from within. That's verse 16. She began to be renewed day by day, even in her suffering. And today, she's still around, right? Almost 60 years later, she was on the radio earlier this week encouraging people around the world. She leads a ministry that gives wheelchairs to people around the world, thousands of them every year, to people that need them. She still paints. She can't move her arms to paint. She holds the brush in her teeth. She said, hey, listen, the paralysis that I've experienced, I used to hate, but now I cherish it more than anything. You know why? Because she is reminded every day that she is weak and that God is strong. Her body has been wasting away for almost 60 years. But no one that's had the honor to meet her can doubt that something incredible is happening on the inside. She's being renewed day by day. We are weak, God is strong. Truth number two, God's presence sustains us. Look at verse 8. We are hard-pressed on every side, we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We could say a lot, but I want to zero in on verse 9 right there. We are not abandoned, right? We are not abandoned. Paul's giving his personal testimony here, right? Yes, that this will happen to all of us, but Paul's saying, guys, this happened to me. He's saying, I was hard-pressed on every side, but I wasn't crushed. That language of pressed right there would have made his audience in Corinth think of a grape going to a wine press. What happens to the grape? It's pressed, it's crushed, the juice runs out, it's destroyed. Paul's saying, I was facing that same pressure, but I was not crushed. I've been confused, but I've never been hopeless. I've been persecuted, but I've never been taken down. I've never been destroyed. How is that possible? He's facing all of that, and it's right there in verse 9. He knows he's not abandoned. Have you ever had this moment where you've walked through a trial or you've walked through suffering and you've thought, God, where are you right now? Paul says, the answer's right here. God's with us. And so often it's God's presence in our season of suffering that has us still standing. Again, Paul's anchored by the teachings of Jesus. What does Jesus say in Matthew 28? He says, I am with you when? I'm with you always. That's what Jesus said. He said, I'm going to be with you always, all the way to the very end. Right? Know that if you're a follower of Christ, God has promised his presence in your life. You will never suffer alone. You'll never walk through a trial alone. It's his presence that's going to sustain you in your most difficult seasons. Charles Spurgeon, the great pastor, he put it this way. I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. Meaning that he embraces, that he is thankful for the trials in his life because they point him back to the presence of God in his life. So as Paul writes here, he's saying, I'm not going to lose heart. I'm going to be renewed because God is with me. Truth number three, others are strengthened during our times of suffering. When we face suffering, we want it to matter, right? We want it to mean something. We want to know that it's not wasted. You can look and see a lot of nonprofits, a lot of charities, a lot of foundations are founded on the heels of some kind of crisis or tragedy in a person's life. There's one in our area that a lot of you, I'm sure, are familiar with, especially if you have students or teenagers. It's called the Kaylee Mills Foundation. Now, Kaylee, the high school student that passed away in a tragic car wreck a few years ago, and her parents founded this in her memory to save the lives of other teenagers, and they're saving lives every single day. Starting in verse 10, what Paul says here is, he's saying, my suffering ultimately is going to help other people. Look at verse 10. He says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed by our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. All this is for your benefit. Verse 15, all this is for you. Right? What is all of this? The suffering. It is all for you, so that the grace of God that's reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow, ultimately to the glory of God. Paul says, death's at work in me. Life is at work in you. Paul says, I'm suffering. Death is winning in my body, but it's for your benefit. The life of the gospel is at work in you ultimately because I am suffering. We're clay pots with a treasure inside. And when the clay pot cracks, what's inside is going to shine out. The power of the gospel is going out to others. One of the guys here at our church, he's walking through cancer treatments right now. He'd be the first to tell you that physically speaking, it's been really hard. But we've seen God's word jump off the pages here in his life, right? As he's faced this trial, so many people, including myself, have had their faith strengthened as he's suffered, right? He's a leader in a lot of areas of our church. One of them is our Tuesday night men's group. I was talking to some of the guys in that men's group this week, and this is what they had to say about him. They said, when PK rolled into our small group a few weeks ago, he gave us the clearest picture of God's word from James chapter 1 that we could have asked for. He shared how happy he was to be with us, how God has been good to him even during his battle with cancer. Like always, PK brought energy and life and wisdom to our group of men that night. Other people are being strengthened and encouraged through his suffering. Their prayer lives are increasing through his season of suffering. They're seeing God work like God promised he would. They're being strengthened in the midst of a trial. So Paul is able to say, listen, I'm going to suffer, but I'm not going to lose heart because I know it's not meaningless. God, I'm going to suffer, but I'm not going to lose heart. My inside's going to be renewed in a powerful way, God, because I know you're using this in the lives of other people. I know my suffering is bad, but God, I'm going to press on because you're doing what only you can do through it. God is working in the lives of other people as you walk through those challenging seasons. And let me encourage you with this, that the impact that God wants to work in and through your life to others, it's not confined just to our seasons of suffering. When we are on the other side of it, God continues to use it. The very first chapter of the letter, 2 Corinthians 1, it says this in verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who, listen to this, he comforts us in our troubles, right? So think about that. He comforts us in our troubles. Why? So we can comfort those in trouble with the same comfort that we ourselves received from God. God uses the trials in our life to strengthen the faith of others while we're in the trial and on the other side of it as well. So here's a question that you could ask yourself. Who in my life is going through something now that God has already taken me through? It's not a coincidence that you know them. It's not a coincidence that you know what they're walking through right now. Right? God wants to work through you and their life like only he can do. I will not lose heart. It's God's working in others through my suffering. Truth four, I will not lose heart because death is not the end. Verse 14, we know the one who raised Jesus from the dead will raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. For the believer, you know and understand, when your time on earth is done, you have an eternity waiting for you in the presence of God. And I just want to remind you how the Bible describes the presence of God. Revelation 21 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I heard with a loud voice from the throne saying, look, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He's going to dwell with them. They'll be his people. God will be with them. He will be their God. He's going to wipe every tear from their eyes. There's going to be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So in my suffering, Paul says, my anchor is to the promised future I have in Christ. I will not lose heart, even in the face of death. I will be renewed because I will be with the Father. So for us today, as we face the death of our loved ones in our grief, we don't lose heart because we know we will be with them again. As our bodies get weaker and older and closer to death, we will not lose heart because just like Christ was raised, he's going to raise me, and I'll be in a place where death is just a memory and tears are no more. So I will not lose heart. Outwardly, I'm wasting away. But my soul, every day God's doing something new. Every day God's doing something fresh. He is renovating me. He is building me up and strengthening me from the inside out, and he's not going to stop until I see his face. And that's the reality. One day we're going to see his face, right? All of this is going to be gone. The good, bad, the ugly, it's going to be gone. And we're going to be standing before our Heavenly Father. That's the basis of truth number five. Our suffering is temporary and light. You might think, well, not mine. Let me explain. Verse 17, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, Paul's not trying to minimize what you are going through, right? He's just restating what he's told us, that the heaven is waiting for us. He's saying, as hopeless as I might feel today, I'm not going to lose heart because I know this moment of suffering is not going to last forever. It will end. And the truth that we need to understand is that it might not end on this earth. There is a certain kind of pain that some of us may experience in our life that we're going to hold on to for the rest of our lives. But Paul says, even with that kind of pain, don't lose heart. Be encouraged. Let this be a truth that anchors your heart and soul. One day you'll be in heaven. Those tears will be gone, and the presence of Jesus will give you indescribable joy. Our light and momentary troubles, he says. I've had trouble that hasn't felt light. I've had trouble that's felt very, very heavy, very scary. I'm sure you have too. Why would Paul call that kind of trouble light? You may think, well, it's because Paul never faced any kind of heavy trouble. He did. In 2 Corinthians 11, he gives us just a snapshot of it, not to boast about himself, but to boast about the power of God in his life. And 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, he says, I've been flogged and beaten. I've been exposed to death again and again. Five times I was lashed by the Jews, three times beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, three times shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day adrift in the open sea. I've been on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, from bandits, from my fellow Jews, from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. He says, I've labored and toiled. I've gone without sleep. I've known hunger. I've known thirst. I've gone without food. I've been cold. I've been naked. And besides everything else, I face this daily pressure on me, my concern for all the churches. He says in verse 29, who's weak? I'm weak. He knew pain. He knew suffering. He knew weakness. And he did not lose heart. That is key. He did not lose heart. Not from the beatings, not from the imprisonment, not from the dangers, not from the betrayals. Why? Because he knew no matter how bad it was, and it was bad, and it was heavy, it was going to pale in comparison to the glory that was waiting for him in heaven. In no way does he make our suffering small.
What instead he's doing is he's making huge the reality of the joy that we're going to experience in heaven. How does he close out? Look at verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Because what's seen is temporary, but what is unseen, that's eternal. Truth number 6, we fix our eyes on the eternal, right? He's saying, look up, right? Get your eyes up there on the Lord. And the fixing of our eyes, it's not just taking a look and getting a quick glance and then going back to what we were doing. No, fixing our eyes describes an intentional, sustained focus in a certain direction. Right? It's where you allow your mind to dwell, your heart, your emotions to dwell, day in and day out. As Paul describes suffering, here's what he's saying. I'm not going to give all of my mental and emotional time and energy to the trials around me. No, instead, I'm going to fix my eyes up on the unseen spiritual realities that are present in my situation because I know that's what matters for eternity. So as you walk through trials, let me remind you, just look up. Look up and keep your eyes on Jesus, and as you do, you will not lose heart. Many of you know the man that I spoke of just a minute ago, walking through cancer treatments, Paul Kidney, great friend, an encourager and mentor to many in this room, and including myself, and he's walking through a diagnosis right now that will cause a lot of people, frankly, to lose heart. One that might cause people to spiral or to be filled with despair or to be afraid. And listen, I haven't seen that in him. And all the time that I've spent with him, I just haven't seen that. In fact, when we first sat down months ago now and he was telling me, hey, this is what the doctors have said. He wasn't afraid of what the doctors said. You know what he was most afraid of? He was most afraid that we at the church were going to say, why don't you just take it easy for a little bit and stop serving where you're constantly serving? That's what he was afraid of, right? He wanted to continue doing what God's called him to do, to love God, to love others, and love so many people here in our church family. And I'm telling you, he was able to do that. He's able to keep serving in the season of suffering because he's keeping his eyes up. We spoke on the phone earlier this week. Paul's right over here. We spoke on the phone earlier this week, and I just want to publicly acknowledge, Paul, that the way that you have kept your eyes up and focus on the Lord has been such an incredible encouragement to me and my faith and the faith of so many. And as we talked, we got off the phone, and my kids were in the car with me. They're like, who are you talking to, Dad? And I was talking to Mr. Paul. And I was like, I called Mr. Paul to encourage him, and he spent 15 or 20 minutes encouraging me. And then that's just how it goes, because of the way that God's working in his heart, keeping his eyes up. And as we talk, he said, listen, I just want people to know that their prayers are making a difference in my life, not because of things physically. Their prayers are making a difference in my life because God's doing something incredible in my heart and in my soul every single day. In the midst of this suffering trial, I am being built up, renovated, renewed. I'm just telling you, it's the text coming alive in his life because he's focused on what is eternal. What a great lesson for us. Verse 16, we don't lose heart. We're wasting away. That the trials, the suffering of this life, they are taking a toll on us. But we will not lose heart. Instead, what we're going to allow the Lord to rebuild us, renew us, and do something special inside of us each and every day. We're going to face suffering. It's going to hurt. But spiritually speaking, talking about our hearts and souls, even in the midst of these seasons, God can and will do incredible things in our hearts to draw us deeper and closer in a relationship with him. And as you remember, as you anchor down to these truths, I promise you, no matter what you face, you will not lose heart. Would you pray with me this morning? And as we bow in prayer, let me just acknowledge again, everybody's in a different place right now. For some, things are light and easy and you're good. You will face suffering. Let these truths anchor you down. For others, you're walking through a season of suffering right now. And man, if that's you, I just want to encourage you, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Do not let the trials you're walking through now drive a wedge between you and the Lord. No, instead, allow him in the midst of this suffering to rebuild, to renew you day by day. And that happens as you hold on to the truth of the Word of God. Allow God to do what only he can do. Acknowledge that you're weak and that he is strong. And let that power of the gospel that he has placed deep down in your heart and soul renew and restore day by day. If you've walked through an incredible season of trial and challenges, let me just encourage and remind you as well that God still wants to use that in the hearts and lives of others. 2 Corinthians 1, God comforted you. You're supposed to take that love and comfort God gave you and pass it on to other people that might be walking through the same thing. So ask God, who do I share this with? Ask God, who do I encourage that might be walking through what our family walked through? And keep your eyes up and open, ready to pass that on. And then finally, let me just say that when those trials come, Jesus said in Matthew 7, when those trials come, the ones that can stand are the ones who have the power of the gospel inside of them, the ones that have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, maybe your kid had a great week at BBS and you wanted to come back today just to see what this is all about. Maybe a friend invited you. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure why. Let me just say that if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that's why you're here. Just a minute, we're going to stand and sing one last song. We'll have some pastors and prayer partners down here at the front. We want to pray with you about what God's doing in your life. So if you're ready to trust Christ, just walk down and say, hey, I'm ready to trust Christ. If you're walking through a storm right now, and we all will, and you want someone to pray over you, to encourage you, that's why we're here. We want to encourage you, build you up, help you, point your eyes and your heart towards the Lord so that you don't lose heart, so that you can be built up, like God says right here in these verses. Whatever's on your heart, whatever you might need prayer over, in just a minute, when we stand and sing, that's your invitation. We love to pray over you. Father, we love you and trust you. God, we thank you for your word and the promises of it. God, help us. Help us to anchor our hearts to these truths, God, so that we don't lose heart, but instead, God, we are renewed day by day. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.